Welcome to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Shurtleff. This show is heard on WBCQ, The Planet, every Monday night at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. It is brought to you by Camp Constitution, which, among other things, runs a week and a day-long family camp. Next year's camp is July 2nd to the 9th in beautiful Ringe, New Hampshire. And among our instructors next year will be Mrs. Chris Ann Hall, who will be coming back for her fourth year. And Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America. We've got some other great plans for our camp. The show is also heard on ITMNation.org, which airs every Saturday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's a 24-hour online news service, and the good folks there do that as a courtesy. We can also watch listen to the show on YouTube. We do upload most of the shows, and if you go to Camp Constitution's website, campconstitution.net, you'll see a link to the YouTube channel. And we do have many YouTube programs. We have a lot of our camp classes over the years, some of the activities and things that we do during the year. We were very pleased and honored to be involved in a special project. Dr. Willie Soon, who lives in the greater Boston area, who's a brilliant astrophysicist and one of the world's top climate realists, I was asked by a few people to videotape his presentation, which we did. And that's a segue for our guest, who we just called in. Debbie, I hope I get this name right. Let me see. Bacigalupi.
Bacigalupi.
Bacigalupi. I was close, but that's a good name. I've seen that name maybe or name similar. What type of name is that?
It is Italian, and it means kiss of the wolf.
Or like bocce ball, right? Okay.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. And Lupi is like the lupins. Yeah, Lupi as in where. Oh, that's interesting. That's a good name.
Yeah, many wolves. So some people say kiss of the wolves.
Wow, that's a good name.
And we say as ranchers, be careful what you ask for.
And, of course, I get a copy. I saw you with the Rancher magazine, Range, a picture of you on your Facebook page. Dr. Michael Kaufman gives me copies of that when I see him. He writes on a regular basis for the publication, and you see an article about how these Canadian wolves are being introduced to certain states in the West, and these Canadian wolves are not indigenous, and it become a big problem. And that's sort of one of the topics I'd like to address, not so much Canadian wolves, but Agenda 21. You ran for Congress. You are an activist, an Agenda 21 activist. You appeared, or you were involved in a few documentaries, Farmageddon, dealing with the food issue, and also Blue, which deals with the Agenda 21 issue.
Yes. Farmageddon, I was just a distributor, so I went around the Western United States mostly, actually mostly California. A friend of mine, Kristen Canty, she's a mom out of Boston, and when I saw the film, I thought it was going to be, kind of a radical environmental film, and I was pleasantly surprised at the freedom and liberty and a libertarian slant that Farmageddon has and the attack on our ability to eat any kind of food we want. And what the film, it's a fabulous film, and it goes to show that practically anybody can get involved and find a passion, which this woman, Kristen Canty, did. She was trying to figure out how to, her son had asthma so bad and allergies so bad that they thought they were going to lose him, and she was doing a mad research, as a mom trying to save her son, and found out that raw milk is a cure. And when she went to go buy raw milk, she heard stories from farmers and ranchers about how the USDA and the FDA are coming after food. So you can buy, McDonald's food and be pregnant and smoke, but in some states, raw milk is illegal. And so anyway, Blue was a documentary I got involved in with J.D. King. He's a young Christian out of Montana, and his first film was called Crying Wolf, a fabulous film about the wolves being introduced into Yellowstone, as a family ranching son, he knew that what the government was saying and what he was actually physically seeing weren't matching up to the stories that were being told to the public. And then two other films. So I got together with JD and we did a film called Blue, and what it was about was blue beats green, and how radical environmentalism is taking over rural America. And then I also did a film with another person called Wolves in Government Clothing, kind of our spin on the wolf introduction, and then another one called Fish or Fowl, and that one is about the removal of dams DAMS, mm-hmm. across the country, but specifically the largest dam removal project in worldwide history, which is right near where my parents' ranch is, and it's the Klamath River, and it is based on junk science. In fact, all the things that the documentaries that we just mentioned are based on junk science, not sound science. So, yeah, thank you for mentioning those.
Well, what's interesting about the dam removal is that it actually upsets the ecosystem. Some of these dams have been there for quite a long time, 100 years or more.
Yep.
And that ecosystem, which is very fragile in some respects, it's been totally disrupted. Rivers, ponds and lakes are totally drained. It's interesting, too, a lot of these plants were introduced years ago. There's a pine tree that was introduced in New England mainly to stop erosion, and they did a good job of reproducing, and they're sort of an invasive. Now, they've got some type of blight, and we have to restore the land to the natural pine trees, so we cut the oaks and the maples. Well, wait a minute, folks. These pine trees are not indigenous. They were brought over here 200 years ago to stop erosion, and you're cutting down really trees that are indigenous. And they don't even know their own, most of these people don't even know their own science. They're not even good stewards.
And of course,
that's the big difference between being an environmentalist and being a steward. I would say that most people I know that own land or farmland, they're really good stewards of their property. They're not destroying it. They're preserving it for the next generations as well. But it's some of these environmentalists that are these zealous, they want to shut down everything. And as Dr. Michael Kaufman points out, that you have to manage. It's like a big garden. You can't just let it shut it off and walk away. That's what causes the forest fires. Now, we don't have them in New England and the Northeast to the extent that you have them out in your area, but a lot of these things are artificially created by this management.
Well, absolutely. I mean, although this is a very simplistic way of looking at it, viewing it, if you didn't brush and cut your hair, like mm-hmm. my hair is long, it becomes a rat's nest. So absolutely, I have to cut it, and I have to manage it, and I have to brush it, and I have to clean it. You know, and that's the same thing for our forests. If they are not properly managed, if they're just let to grow, and we're planting more trees, they become more dense. And the canopy is so, it's like living in the dark, and I don't know what besides mushrooms, you know, and moss wants to grow in dark. And, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of little species, but I don't know what deer wants to eat pine needles. I don't
That's
know.
Right.
You show me a deer that wants to eat pine needles, and, you know, my whole theory about this radical environmentalism just goes out the door.
Now, you live in California, the Bay Area?
I live in the Bay Area, but my heart is in rural America. My parents have a very self-preserving cattle ranch, meaning they manage everything for themselves, and they take care of the land. They love the land, and we manage our cows well. We have a smallish herd. We rotate them through different fields, I hate using the word sustainable or sustaining. I hate
right.
using that word these days, but it's a very, you know, in the old sense of the term, sustaining ranch. And
it's a good word that was hijacked. There's a lot of good words out there that have been hijacked by the left. The word progressive, that was hijacked over 100 years ago. Progress means that people's lives are getting better, things are doing better. But they take it, they turn it into this is socialism, and what's happened to Detroit
is
progress.
Social engineering, yep. And, you know, another word that is all the same conversation. We're not bouncing all over the place for those people who might be like, wow, they're all over the place. Democracy is another word that's being hijacked and turned into something that it actually does not mean. And today, if you hear democracy all the time on the news, and you hear, you know, supposed conservatives using it, and democracy is mob rule. So
that means
if, you know, the majority of people say, you know, you shouldn't have that ranch or you shouldn't have that car or whatever, you're odd man out. That's mob rule. And then, you know, if you're like, wait a minute, and you get in a fist fight or whatever, who's going to come in and stop the fight? When you say, wait, I believe in liberty and freedom. I have a right to have my own car. I have a right to have my own ranch. I earned it. Well, if mob rule comes along and says, no, you can't, that's democracy, guys. If mob rule
right.
comes along, who then is going to come settle the dispute? Who always
exactly
comes in
right.
and saves the day? A bigger government. And then it's, you know, then here we go, bigger government. So be careful when you use the word democracy and start, you know, we need to start taking back the language for what it actually really means. And I agree with you about the progressive term. It's social engineering these days. It's not progress. It's actually the opposite of progress, which is what regression or whatever.
Retrogressive would be what they should be called. Well, on the, it's interesting. This radio show is broadcast out of Arista County, Maine, which is the largest county in the state. It's about 6,000 square miles, a little bigger than that. You could put Rhode Island in Connecticut, I think, in Arista County. It's being depopulated. And my friend of mine, who's a Vietnam helicopter pilot veteran, he said, Roger Eck, he has a show on the AM side of the station. He said that the depopulation project or program is in Arista County is well ahead of its plan. There were a couple of paper mills just a little bit south of Arista County that were put out of business in Millinocket, Maine. The lady who owns Burt's Bees, you probably have the product out in your way, I'm not certain.
We sure do.
Yeah, I can't recall her name, but she just donated. She bought a bunch of woodland up in Maine, and she gave it to the federal government, which the governor of Maine, LePage, and many others say is unconstitutional, and Obama declares it a national monument, which is a violation not only of the Constitution, but even the National Monument Law, which was passed in 1906 or 04, somewhere right there. A monument is something, if a significant event happened, if there was a battle there or some significant event, and you just have a little buffer zone around that area. Woods are not a monument.
Right.
And so hopefully that could be reversed.
That's a very interesting topic. There's a couple things there. Burt's Bees, if you look at the bottle or whatever, you know, the container, you're going to see a circle B. And Burt's Bees is what is called a benefit corporation, corporation.
Yes.
So we, as if we're concerned, and a benefit corporation is one that benefits the environment or benefits fair trade or benefits free trade or benefits some sort of movement, progressive movement, away from freedom and liberty and more into evening the playing field, taking away private property or amassing private property into conservation easements or into monuments. We are responsible, Hal, for supporting these companies like Walmart, for example, like Starbucks, for example. If you look anywhere into their reports and put in sustainability or Agenda 2030 or the 2030 Agenda, you will see, or the United Nations, you will see how much these corporations are benefiting the United Nations movement for Agenda 21, the agenda for the 21st century, which is to move us into higher density population centers, into regions, which is why you see your main county being depopulized, because the movement is to move us out of rural America where all the natural resources are, because listen to what they say. They say resources are finite. They're limited. So we need to then protect all the resources, all the Earth's resources, because as the population grows and as people rape and pillage the Earth and we cause global warming and climate change, we need to protect those resources that are finite and limited and that are, you know, that our life on Earth, whether it's the Amazon rainforest or my parents' ranch that has a cold spring through it or a habitat for a wolf, a wildlife corridor, all those biodiverse regions and areas must be saved from human beings, because we human beings are pillaging and raping the Earth, and we are causing mass destruction, including global warming and climate change. And therefore, if you move all the world's population into high-density living situations, what they call the built world or the concrete world, where we live in high-rises and we walk and we bike and we take public transportation, we live a sustainable lifestyle to keep the world's temperature within 1.5 degrees Celsius. Does this sound crazy? To keep the world's temperature within 1.5 degrees Celsius, and the only way we can stop climate change and global warming is if we all reduce our lifestyle to where we live a minimal lifestyle. By the way, guys, this is in all their documentation. I'm not making, Hal and I are not making this
stuff. Oh, absolutely, yes. They call it a conspiracy theory. I don't know. You can go online, if you know where to look, and find it. You got Maurice Strong, who said, this was at the Rio conference, the first one in 1992, he said the middle class is the biggest threat, the American middle class is the biggest threat to the world.
Yep.
And we have to make dramatic change.
Why is that? Why did Maurice Strong say that? What is his evidence?
Well, yes, his evidence is based on our simple consumption patterns. That
yes.
Because some of us eat red meat and that we have automobiles and air conditioning, that makes us criminals.
Right.
But reality is that life is better where there's more energy. And I had the privilege of meeting Roy Innes at a climate change conference sponsored by the Heartland Institute back in 08 or 09. And I interviewed him. And he's been to Africa. And he says, Africa needs energy. And I said, that's how you're going to make that, especially sub-Saharan Africa. He said, what they need is energy, and what they need is access. That's how you're going to have long life. You're going to have hope and real progress. Now, you are hosting, or not hosting, but you're involved with a conference coming up this week, actually, in Phoenix, December
2nd.
Oh, my
gosh, is it already here? Oh, gosh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
December 2nd is my birthday. So,
happy birthday.
Thank you. It starts Friday night. And the main part of it is on Saturday, and it's so exciting, especially as we see in the United States so much happening towards climate change and global warming and Trump, President-elect Trump, the threat of him undoing the Paris Accord, which I was at the United Nations Paris Conference when they were drafting the final agreement of the Paris Conference. I attended parts of the conference, the only parts I could get in, actually, where I rode a bike, by the way, that was hooked up to my cell phone. And how by the time that I could charge my cell phone, I think it was going to take 4 hours of bike riding for me to charge my cell phone. Then I rode a bike to make lemonade. And then I rode a bike with a stationary bike. These are all stationary bikes. And I created energy with a bunch of other stationary bike riders, creating energy enough to, who knows how much, but supposedly enough to power a DJ playing records and music and whatever, and people were dancing. So that's kind of gives you an idea of what kind of world they're creating for us, where we're not taking energy from the earth in the form of fossil fuel or natural gas, but we are actually creating it with our own energy. We are creating energy. And in this way, we are in better shape. We are healthier. We are probably not as heavy. And so anyway, yeah, so that gives you an idea of what part of the Paris Agreement. I said the Rio. I also went to the Rio Earth Summit back in 2012. That's when I ran.
Rio 20, yes.
Yes, I went to Rio Plus 20. That was when I ran for Congress in the San Francisco Bay Area. Yes, so we're having a conference this weekend, and Saturday is full of great speakers. And the idea behind, and I'll name some of them, the idea behind this conference is to say that this whole global warming push is a hoax. And based on when you look at the science, all these agendas that they're pushing through, whether it's removing the largest dam removal project in worldwide history, which is the Klamath River Clean Green Renewable Energy Dams in perfect condition. But what they want to do, they want to remove those dams for coho salmon. Now, most people can go to Whole Foods and buy wild coho salmon for $8.99. So it's really about the fish. When they're not even, and somebody might say, well, they could be endangered to that area. Well, okay, so let's say that is the case. One, there's no record of coho salmon being indigenous to this area, to where, Klamath River and Siskiyou County. And the other is these scientists, NOAA, NIMS, all these agencies involved in removing these dams, Indian tribes are going to get paid millions and millions of dollars and receive thousands of acres in return for what they call river restoration. They're not these scientists, these so-called stakeholders, which we're not the stakeholders, even though we're directly impacted by the removal, are claiming that the water quality in this upside-down river, meaning where this river starts, the water is bad. It's contaminated. It's contaminated naturally because it's warm, it's shallow, it's phosphorus-rich. But as you go further down the river, closer to the mouth, it gets fresher, colder, because it goes through mountains. Most rivers are opposite. They start in the mountains, and they're clean, cold, fresh water coming, you know, right out of the mountains and near the mountain sources where the freshest water is. Well, even National Geographic calls this an upside-down system along the Klamath River. But what I wanted to say is if this is about the water quality and the temperature of the river, they're not even these so-called expert scientists aren't even considering what we call, what is called, not what we call, but what is called Pacific Decadal Oscillation. That is the natural warming of the Pacific Ocean from volcanic activity, from thermals that are, you know, occurring naturally in our oceans. So, you know, if you're going to study and you're going to make such drastic moves, you better study the whole thing. You can't just pick and choose your evidence. That's, you know, they call it evidence-based management. Well, I can write a thesis. That's, you know, when I was getting my master's, I did an evidence-based management thesis on why the dams should be, you know, we should save the dams. And I could pick and choose, just like anybody else, the facts and the evidence that I want to state my case. So what we have at this conference is experts on all these different issues, whether it's the Klamath River Dam removal or global warming, climate change. You just interviewed my friend, Dr. Willie Soon, who's an astrophysicist. Yeah. I'd love to hear about that. We have Dr. Will Happer, who is a Princeton professor, and he doesn't believe in man-made climate change, at least the man-made climate change that they're saying is we all must dramatically change our lifestyle and live a sustainable development lifestyle, which means people, this means getting you out of your car eventually by the year 2050 is their slated goal for us to live in high-rises, walk, bike, and take public transportation everywhere we go, reduce our consumptive behavior, whether you eat meat, whether you buy things, whether you buy DVDs to watch at your home. We will all be considering whether or not those things that we partake in, the activities that we partake in, are considered sustainable or not. I know it sounds crazy, but when you start reading the documents, you're going to see that we're not making any of this stuff up. There's another speaker named Patrick Wood. Patrick Wood is the only expert I know on technocracy. In fact, if you ever listen to Alex Jones, you'll hear Alex Jones bring up technocrats and technocracy. Alex Jones learned of technocracy through Patrick Wood, and Patrick Wood will go into the new urban agenda, including the 2030 agenda and Agenda 21. But ultimately, and this is going to make sense to everyone right now, what technocracy is a new international economic order, meaning we're going to replace a cash system, we're going to move into a cashless system, and ultimately what it means is a scientific dictatorship. This is exactly why we hear, when it comes to climate change, global warming, anthropogenic global warming, that the science is settled, even though every scientist on planet Earth knows the science is never settled. So if you can make it to this conference, there's going to be a bunch more. We have Holly Swanson, who's going to go into not only Common Core, but how the Earth Charter, the United Nations Earth Charter, and climate change is being taught to children. It is eye-popping, like you want to poke your eyes out when you hear her talk. Elaine Willman is coming down from Kalispell, Montana. She's part Indian. She's going to talk about how the Indians are being used and tribes are being used to push global warming, climate change, and really to dismantle the United States of America. And then, of course, we have Lord Christopher Monckton coming all the way over from Britain, and he's going to talk about what happened to Brexit, but he's also going to go into some science, that some mathematical equations that he's just discovered from an old document that the United Nations is using the wrong number when predicting the wrong formula, when predicting global warming, climate change, which is why they're hockey stick, why they had to cheat so badly with Al Gore and their hockey stick model, and they're only using brief snippets of time to say, oh, look at the spike in global warming. Well, if you look at it over time, you will see that that spike hardly means anything in the infinity of time. Anyway, you can go to Freedom Force International, Freedom Force International, and look up the Third Congress. And or I think you can also go to inconvenientlie.com or .org. I'm sorry, I don't know the exact website. Inconvenientlie.com or .org.
And as Ed Griffin, I spoke to, he's a friend of ours. He plans to have this available in some kind of DVD format or online, and then just blast it out as far and wide as possible.
We have to, because this is the most serious, in my opinion, studying all sorts of different things. this climate change and global warming is the most serious. Why? Because it's the most dramatic. It causes the biggest upset from farming and ranching all the way to how you live your life. Whether you live in a single-family home or a mixed family home, you might not even know the family you live with down the road, you know, in 2050 or whatever. And children are now, college students are now being taught, you know, that a 250-square-foot apartment is plenty enough for them. I mean, if you believe in freedom and liberty, the whole global warming climate change ruse is just devastating to it's just devastating.
Yeah, there was I was in Belfast, Maine, which used to be a member of ICLEI, I-C-L-E-I. We had an outreach that got out of ICLEI, but there was this little a farm that went, you know, that they sold, and some environmentalists bought it, and they were building these little 250 square foot housing, and with community kitchens, and that's okay. Private sector, if you want to live in that lifestyle, that's your business. But
that's
don't
right.
force it upon the rest of us.
Right.
We only have about we have 2 minutes left. Quickly, Willie Soon, we did a phenomenal job, and we got off the video yesterday, so I'm very confident that Ed Griffin will have it. But he is a funny guy, and as brilliant as he is, he's very down to earth. But he made a very good illustration. There was he said, yes, there's more CO2s in the environment. And he showed a graph. But he said, then he had showed a picture of a football field. I think it was the Rose Bowl. And he said, the Rose Bowl holds 100,000 people, give or take. And he had a picture of it at a distance. And he said, 10 years, he said, this chart illustrates two extra people in the audience in 10 years. That's what's happened with CO2. I mean, just infinitesimal, some things that have no significance. So that really hit home. And he also said, a climate scientist, and he said there's like 20 disciplines. He said it's so impossible to be able to be a climate scientist and master all these disciplines and able to say, yes, I'm a climate scientist. And I say global warming or climate change is a reality. So I think you'll find it quite interesting. And I was able to connect. I met him years ago, and it's funny that he's known around the world, but he doesn't have a lot of connections. He said he was at Harvard at a Republican club with three people in attendance. I says, well, that's good. We're gonna make you a household name in Greater Boston. So I was very pleased that you and Ed and Alex Newman reached out to me to help make him. You get on a website and maybe a Facebook page. We only got a few seconds left.
Yeah, okay. And you know, the neat thing about Willie is, Dr. Willie Soon, he's Chinese, and he is an astrophysicist. I mean, and he even will say, you know, the United Nations, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the UNIPCC, who is pushing this global warming climate change, and we all must agree to 1.5 degrees Celsius in saving planet Earth. Willie would tell you, you know, the UN is, the scientists aren't even including the solar flares
That's
in their
right.
global warming scheme. So if you're gonna radically change, radically we're talking people's lives over the next 30 years, shouldn't you do full research?
That's right.
Should you not pick and choose? Shouldn't you do complete and whole science? Shouldn't you have peer reviews and peer reviews that are based on no bias? But that's not what's happening. My Facebook page, you could go to Hal's Facebook page and find Debbie.Bacigalupi, D-E-B-B-I-E .BACIGALUPI. And you may have to Facebook message me and just say, hey, I heard you on Hal's radio show, and just so I know that you're legit. And I'll be happy to add you. I am very careful because I've had death threats. So I
Yep,
especially when I was running for Congress. So I do, you know, I do hold my friends close and my enemies probably. I definitely have gut instincts that have steered me. Well, I also have Jesus Christ and God by my side who are steering me in the right direction. And yeah, I'd love to hear from people. It's so much fun. You know what? The neatest thing about this movement, the neatest thing about Agenda 21 and the 2030 Agenda and being someone like we are who studies it, even though it's total Debbie Downer news, is that the cream of the crop is rising. And just, I've gotten to meet the most extraordinary people on planet Earth, and it just gets better and better and better.
Well, the same thing here with me. Well, it's a pleasure having you. God bless, and we'll stay in touch. And you've been listening to WBCQ, The Planet, hosted by Camp Constitution. Until next week, God bless.